to emphasize how our lives are precisely produced at the many junctions of the social and the individual, we fundamentally distort the ways we live and struggle in community with one another and with our non-human companions on this planet. Revisiting this text, almost 50 years after I wrote it, I might call it something like Memoirs of a Life Dedicated to the Quest for Freedom. Or I could emphasize the subtitle of the first paperback edition, With My Mind on Freedom. I was indeed hesitant to write an autobiography then. But today I can say unequivocally that I am very glad that I undertook the challenge to write a collective story that, in light of the passage of time, may be more important than I then suspected. The significance I now perceive resides precisely in the many flows and ruptures of left anti-racist movements over the last decades. In this sense, I am eternally grateful to Toni Morrison, my editor at the time, who insisted on the importance of a political autobiography, and without whose assistance and persistence this book would not exist. As I dwell in the memories of this political past, I am reminded of how much I owe Toni, not only for this work and others she edited and wrote, but for her decades-long friendship and the many ways she transformed our planetary consciousness. As I write this preface, many narratives are emerging that center the uprisings and organizing efforts related to the police murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and so many others, which helped to define a period that will be remembered for the collective awareness of structural racism that crystallized during the COVID-19 pandemic. My contribution, like the work of others who have attempted to narrate aspects of the anti-racist struggles of the late 20th century, will hopefully help us to better understand where we are today. In apprehending the ways in which the practices of the history I wrote about and the theoretical insights embedded in them are situated on a continuum of courageous struggles against racist police violence, against the deeply embedded racism of the carceral system, and against racial capitalism more broadly, we can begin to recognize the long-term outcomes of struggles that are sustained over generations. Even if these movements have not produced the structural transformations we know we need in order for the masses of indigenous, Black, Latinx, Middle Eastern, Asian, and working-class white people to begin to enjoy the material and intellectual benefits of life in an advanced industrial society, or even life on this planet, regardless of the level of development in a particular region. They help us to envisage concrete possibilities of such revolutionary changes in the future. This account of radical movements, as well as others of the last decades of the 20th century, pivots around state violence, the violence of the police, the violence of jails and prisons, and the complicated ways these forms of violence infuse the communities they target, sometimes also further enacted by the very individuals who are its victims. Just as the names of Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, George Floyd, and Breonna Taylor will always be etched into the memories of politically conscious contemporaries today, my Southern California comrades of the late 1960s will never forget the names of Leonard Detwiler,